So sorry that my audio sounds terrible. I have to be on my phone because my laptop is being pissed hot.
So what's up? What's new? What are we who are we again?
Oh, I'm Liza.
I'm Riss.
And this is the Little Sleep
Much Reading Podcast.
And finally, from so little sleeping and so much reading, his brain dried up and he went completely out of his mind.
What does your shirt say? Nashville.
Mayville Bluegrass Festival.
Slay.
It's Nick's.
It's Nick's.
I take whatever I want here.
As you should.
As I should.
What did we do this week?
We pissed around.
Yeah.
We read Swedes books for babies.
I think I was confused about what counts as middle grade because
Okay.
my book is definitely middle grade. It's labeled as middle grade, but it's like pretty mature. And I had always thought middle grade was like elementary school. But I guess it's like fifth, sixth, and seventh, low key.
I definitely think it depends. Because
Okay.
we definitely have some books in the young reader section that have heavy topics.
Yeah.
That would definitely be like very mature.
Yeah, because at looking here, it says 8 to 12, for what counts as middle grade, third grade to sixth grade. But like, obviously, my mom's a school, elementary school librarian. So as I was starting this book, I was like, oh, maybe this is a book my mom should get for the library. But then, like 3 pages in, I was like, very much she should not get this, I don't think. I think it, I would give it to like, honestly, sixth, seventh, and eighth graders. What was the tea with yours?
Mine was pretty good. It was like a long, I would say mine was definitely, young reader, middle grade. It wasn't, there was nothing like crazy in it. It was definitely dark at some moments, maybe not as dark as I would have hoped, but that's me. Yeah, it was definitely like along the lines of like an Inkheart, Harry Potter vibes, things like that, which is great. That's what the kids want.
Yeah. Let me just get my author's name. So I read The Last Re-Witch by Jenna Lee Yun.
And I read The Whisper Wicks by The Whisper Wicks, The Labyrinth of Lost and Found by Jordan Lees.
Mine was long. I didn't finish it.
I finished mine, but I it didn't go as quick as I thought that it was going to for like a young reader book. Usually, I feel like we can fly that in YA. We usually fly through. The font is usually bigger, the spacing. Mine
Yeah.
wasn't like that.
Yeah, neither was, 'cause like honestly, I was expecting like a Goosebumps vibe from mine, and I
Yeah.
read Goosebumps in one sitting.
Right.
But this book, I'm like 64% of the way through. And that is at, hold on, 225 pages.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is the thickest little baby book I've ever read in my life.
Mine was 375.
Yeah, that's big.
That's good for a kid's book.
Yeah. I guess maybe for both of us, I was picturing more like Goosebumps, Magic Tree House, like that style of young reader, but I guess that is quite a bit younger.
Well, Goosebumps is technically a young reader, but I think it's just because of content.
Yeah, that's
Whereas like Magic Treehouse is a chapter book.
right. It's just interesting the classifications, like, of what there's just it's like there's a fine line, but there's also no line. Because I'm like, this very well could have been a YA book, but it would have had to be a little bit scarier. But it's like too scary to be a typical middle grade book. So I'm like, what is the truth? You know what I'm saying? Who wants to go first?
I was gonna say who went first last time, but we both just talked.
Who
Philly.
went first the time before that?
I can't even remember what we read the time before that. Isn't that
Yeah,
terrible?
Apocalypse.
I think I went first, didn't I?
I think so.
Do you want to go first?
Sure.
Take it away.
Especially because I didn't do a rating scale because I didn't finish it, so I didn't think that would be fair. So I'll just talk about this. This was a really cool book, actually. Like I said, like I was kind of really surprised by the content of it, and the story is actually pretty compelling. It takes place at summer camp, and so it's a little bit of foreshadowing for next week's episode. So that's very fun. And it's about a Korean girl who has kind of recently lost her mother. Her mother's died, and you don't really know what from, but like seemingly from the trauma of losing her mom, she has started speaking basically in rhyme, and she like can't stop speaking in rhyme, and it's almost a compulsion. And so she like wants to go to summer camp to see if she can like, I think she kind of just wants to like get away from her regular life and like see if going to camp for the summer can like fix her in a way. So she ends up going to the summer camp that's at this place called the Ree Manor. I think the book must take place in like the Pacific Northwest, or at least that's the vibe I'm getting. And when she gets there, she starts seeing like an apparition of a woman all in white with like her like black hair hanging over her face with a red scarf. And her best friend Jack, who's also going to summer camp, is like super into Korean horror. And it turns out that like that's a type of like Korean ghost that has like the black hair hanging in front of its face. And so she keeps seeing this apparition, and she thinks she's going kind of crazy. And then at the first campfire at camp, one of the counselors tells a ghost story about what happened at the Ree Manor. And in it talks about how all the Ree women, who are like the family that lived there, died. And when they died, they were found wearing red scarves around their necks, but they couldn't figure out any other like cause of death or whatever. And so then she starts to be like, well, that's a little spooky. And there's sort of other kind of magical Korean figures at play. Like there's Korean ghosts, and then there's Korean goblins. And then, as you later find out, witches are involved. And it becomes this whole thing of her kind of reconnecting with her Korean culture, reconnecting with her mother who has passed away, and finding out secrets about herself and her mother, and then connecting with some really cool like adult witches. And then there's also other potentially magic children at the camp. So it's got a lot of cool stuff going on. It's definitely got a lot going on. And that's also the other reason that I would target this towards slightly older kids, just because it kind of is a lot to keep track of and a lot to follow. Also, if the Zoom runs out, will it let you make a link on your phone? And then I'll just record it on my computer.
I don't know. I think so.
Okay.
I could certainly try.
We'll try it, and if not, we'll figure something out. What was I? Yeah, but it's a really, I mean, like, really cool book, and the horror is actually pretty spooky. Like, it's not like the descriptions of the horror are actually pretty good and kind of scary. I also just love the setting of a summer camp. I think it adds a layer of horror that is just so iconic. So you're already kind of like spooked. Oh yeah, but I was going to start talking about how I was going to start talking about the writing a little bit. The writing is pretty standard for what I expect of middle grade fiction. And I think that's a good thing. I think it would be kind of weird if middle grade fiction was like trying really hard to have like really flowery writing, 'cause like at this stage of a reader's journey, they should just sort of be getting into the idea of good writing, but they still, the most important thing I think for kids of this age should be plot. That's what's kind of going to inspire them to want to keep reading, and sort of like upgrade to different stories. And I guess to sort of jump to plot, like, and like I already described to you, like, I think the plot of this book is really clever, and I haven't really seen anything else like it. It has really kind of complicated world building in a good way. And it's just something that I think is like, yes, there's a surprisingly good amount of fiction on the market for kids about witches, but like this is doing something really different. And I think I'll get into that a little bit more when I talk about characterization. But yeah, otherwise, the writing is pretty standard. I will say, to spoiler alert for next week, I'm listening to The Troop. And I was listening to The Troop while in the same like day, obviously, reading this book. And sometimes I would start reading this book and for some reason think I was still listening to The Troop. And not to compare the two at all, but they do both take place at summer camp. And so I think that's why I was getting a little bit confused. I'll talk about this next week, but The Troop is obviously, the writing is disgusting. It is not at the same, it's not the same aesthetics as this. But I think that does kind of speak to the horror in this book, that sometimes I forgot I wasn't reading Nick Cutter. So I don't know. She does a good job with the horror aspects in making it obviously not too scary that it would completely traumatize a kid, but like if they're into horror, this is a book to give them. So I talked about plot, I talked about writing, shelf-worthiness. I don't know how many librarians are listening to the pod, but I would definitely stock this in a middle school library. I think it would be a really fun read. Again, with characterization, I'll talk about this a little bit more, but I think it could be a really important book to a lot of kids. And also just like give the weird kids the fiction they deserve. Like me and Marissa were definitely those kids that like we'd be picking up books in the library and they just were so normal and we were like, can I please have something freaky? Like the weird kids need their books. Same with booksellers who are listening to the podcast. This is definitely something that like if a kid or a parent comes and they're like, my kid likes this or like my kid likes that, like I feel like this could easily fall into a lot of different categories of things kind of kids are interested in these days. There's a graphic novel that's really cute. I've never read it, but it's called Witchling. And a lot of the kids liked it when I worked at the place that should not be named. So I feel like if you had a kid who came up and was like, I really like Witchling, this could be a next level up because it is pretty, it's heavy. It has a lot of words and it doesn't have any pictures. And it's like, we love comic books, but from a education perspective, like I think part of the reason you want kids to read comic books is that they'll sort of go on to read novels as well. So that's just kind of something to think about. And then last but not least, with characterization, there's a lot of different characters in this book, actually, a surprising amount, and there's a really good amount of diversity as well. I think, I haven't read Young Reader in a while, except for maybe we've done some stuff here or there. Like we did the Bridget Cleary and we did Goosebumps. But those are, yeah, I don't even kind of put those in the same category as this. But I think in my head, I had thought there's so much more time to explore characters in a young reader's book than there actually is. And I think I was more so thinking of that experience of reading a YA book and feeling like you know the character and those characters are friends and they sort of are your friends and this sort of feeling that Marissa and I are, I feel like talk about often chasing, that like sometimes you want that feeling with an adult book, and it's so hard to get with an adult book. And I think I'm kind of starting to realize that it's something that is actually really unique to the young adult genre specifically, because I think young reader books have to focus, and middle grade books have to focus so much on plot and also kind of teaching like a lesson in a way, that you don't get to know the characters' personalities that well. So I would say like the only character you get to know like really well in this book is the main character, Ronnie. That said, like I said, it's a very diverse book. There's lots of different kinds of people who are shown, which I always think is really great for kids. And I think the really best part of the book that makes me feel like it could be important to a lot of kids is the fact that it's so steeped in Korean culture and Korean mythology. So I feel like this would be the perfect book, perhaps for like a kid that's not as in touch with their Korean culture and wants to get in touch with it more, because that's sort of what Ronnie faces. Or like if you had a student who's a Korean adoptee and they don't know a lot about their culture, this could be a great option for them. I also think it handles death really well, because obviously there's ghosts and there's goblins, but like it's also about a girl whose mom has died. Like it that's like a topic that's pretty heavy, but it's also something many kids experience. So I think this book, in terms of the characterization and sort of like what Ronnie has to go through over the course of her character arc, could be good for kids experiencing grief and bereavement, in that way. Yeah, it's a good book. I'm glad I stumbled upon it. I think I just looked up new middle grade books, and I was specifically looking for one that was spooky, obviously, because that's my lifestyle. And this was like one of the first ones that popped up. I think it's quite new. I don't actually know what year. It might be this season, like spring 2024. Let's check actually, because that's kind of interesting. What's the t Hello? Maybe we won't get to know. Beginning. Copyright. Yeah, 2024, May 2024. What? She came out like a few days ago. So that makes sense that I actually haven't seen much about it. Not that I'm really in the world of children's publishing, but that's the tea about it. Yeah, good time. The Last Rewitch.
Yay. Yeah, I wonder if the thing with characters in YA, I wonder if that has something to do with like a lot of the hot YA books that were coming out that we were reading at the age we were reading them. That's also the time when like we were on the internet and there was just so much like it's almost like celebrity culture. You know what I mean? It's almost like how you felt like you knew One Direction because you knew like everything about them and you read like all these like imagines about them. That's like imagine the situation where you're with Harry and you get a flat tire in the brain. You know what I mean? Like we've like lived so many lives through just being on the internet at 13 years old. That like when I was reading The Hunger Games, I had those imagines and I like read all this stuff. And but I don't know, I guess maybe you have to like feel that connection with the characters before you start writing that, you know? So I don't know. It's interesting to think like what connects that and what made that a thing and why it's not in like other books. But also, maybe it is because, like, they start, like, in YA books, they really do be going through some stuff. Like, don't you really feel like you became friends with Harry Potter at the end? Like, of course, like, yeah, like in the beginning, like, felt bad for the kid and whatever. But when it started getting to the later books and like stuff was getting real, that's when I was like, oh, wow, I know this guy. That probably has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, I read The Whisper Wicks by Jordan Lees. And this was recommended to me by a couple of people. And so I was like, oh, fine. And it's got pretty sprayed edges. And I think the cover's really fun. So I was like, whatever, guys, you got me. Twist my arm. So, yeah. It's definitely, like I said before, it's definitely like middle grade. It gives me like Inkheart vibes, gives me Harry Potter vibes. So let's just get into it. For readability, I gave it an 8. I feel like this book was a little bit slow for me in the beginning, but once it got to like the real adventure parts, I guess I should say what it's about. So there's this boy, his name's Benjamiah, and his parents are away and he's with his grandma and his parents are getting a divorce and he's sad about it. And he wakes up one day, he gets sent a doll, and he wakes up one night and there's like a monkey on his dresser, and it gets him to leave and go into the basement and go through this door that has appeared in his basement that leads to this completely different world, where everyone has like a doll and you can cast your doll into a creature and like control it. They don't have money, they use playing cards, like all kinds of like very cool things. And he's almost taken to jail. But he runs into this nice guy who's like, oh no, I know who this kid is. And he takes him home. And he meets his daughter and finds out that he had a son who disappeared. And one day, her name's Elizabella. She decides that she's going to go find her brother. And Benjamiah follows her. And off they go on this big adventure. And so in the beginning, like the parts of him like at home and then getting to this new place and like being there for a couple of days, that part was really slow for me. But once like Benjamiah and Elizabella go on this big journey, that's when it started to get real fun. And like Edwin, the brother who's missing, he sent them, he kind of like left them clues. That they're kind of like trying to find and follow. Yeah, and it's a whole thing. So once it got to that part, I like kind of zoomed through it and was like really intrigued. Yeah. So for language and style, I gave it 7.5. This reminded me of like, again, very like Inkheart style writing, very like The Hobbit, but not like, because like not, I don't really like Tolkien's writing because I think he just goes on and on and on and on and on, and that bothers me. It's more just like that childlike, wondrous fantasy type writing. It feels very cozy fantasy to me in a way that I haven't experienced as a as an adult. Like, I'm not a cozy fantasy reader, not into that, don't really care for it. And I feel like this book made me realize that I only really enjoyed that when I was a child. And thinking about like, I don't know, like maybe I would like it as an adult, but I don't know, something about the fantasy world just doesn't like appeal to me. But with a young reader, it like genuinely does, and I actually really like it a lot more. So yeah, and also like, again, this book is dark in a lot of ways, but sometimes, for the most part, it's fairly light. But there are just some times where, like, the author will say, will like use a phrase that I'm like, that's horrific. But if I was a kid, I would have just read right over it.
Like there's this part, this is specifically the one thing that I remember. They described something as blood clot purple. And I was like, that's terrible. Like so good, but like I don't know, just quite bizarre. In the best way. I loved it. So yeah, for language and style, I gave it 7.5. I'm glad that I can at least enjoy this format in a young reader. Maybe I will try a cozy fantasy as an adult. Maybe that's something me and Liza have to do. I don't know. We'll see. For shelf worthy and read again, I gave this a 7. I'm hoping. I think that it's definitely one that you want on your shelf. The cover's beautiful. It's super fun. It was a great read. Especially if you like fantasy, I think you definitely like it. I think Liza would like this. It has a great plot, great storytelling, fantastic world building. Like it's good in all of those aspects. And like I guess another reason why I would recommend it is because there's not many times where I realized that I was reading like a young reader, which is great. I mean, like, I guess it was always in the back of my head, and the characters are only like 11 years old. But for the most part, I was like, this could easily be like an older book if we wanted it to be. I'm kind of hoping that it becomes a series and that there's more of them because I think that this one was so great that I would love to have at least a second. One of my favorite things about the Inkheart books was they had a book in the real world, and then they had a book in the real world and in the Inkheart world, and then they had a book that was in the Inkheart world. And I just thought that it was so cool to see so many characters out of their elements in different ways. And how, I guess I kind of love the idea of like how a fantastical character would live and exist and act in the real world. And so, like, I don't know, that's just kind of like a charming idea, and I really love that about a book. So I would love for another book with maybe like real world characters in this fantastical world or vice versa. I think that that would be interesting. And I don't know, I would just love to like see the characters together again. That would make me a little bit happy. For plot, I gave it an 8. I think this plot's really original. It's really fun. There's so many different. I feel like a lot of plot starts off simple. You have this character and this character. What do they want? How do they achieve it? What goes in their way so that it makes it harder? Like a basic plot, that's all you have to do. But when you look at a book like Harry Potter, like we get to the last Harry Potter book, Harry wants to kill Voldemort, but he can't because XYZ. He has to do these things first, but he can't do these things first because XYZ. Like, I just think that is really the sign of like a really good book when you can have so many pieces moving at the same time and they're still together in the end. And this book did that so well. We have, a character who wants to get home and a character who wants to find her brother. But they're in this world where you travel two streets from your house and you don't remember how to get back. So you can't travel far. Well, how did her brother go here, there, and everywhere? Like, you have to solve the problem of how do we get to places? How do we not get lost? What if this happens? Then they find these clues. How do we find each of the clues? Where do we go for the next clue? What do the notebooks say? Like, there's just so many like moving pieces. On top of like, again, they're in this world where You don't remember where you are. It's ruled by this, in the center of the labyrinth is like a minotaur who eats people who get lost if they wander too close. Then you also have like, it's also ruled by people who are like heads of companies, which is kind of interesting. Then you have that at play. There's also like color. There's like color snatchers who will steal color, and color's the most valuable thing. There's just so many like different things at play that are so interesting and all work together to create like this wonderful, fantastical world. And also, like, there's something so charming about the fact that like an author can sit down and create a world that's so different from our own, but still works so well in a story. It's like, I don't know, it's almost cute. It like makes me sad in like a cute way, the way that like a dog would make you sad. But yeah, with so many moving parts, with such a fantastical, well-built world, yeah, I had to rate this like, so I had to keep it high. It was just so good. For characterization, I gave it a 7. Again, like Liza said, I feel like you don't get attached to the characters as you do in like a YA book. But like in the way that like, you know, you think of Magic Treehouse and those are the kids you grew up with. Or you think like, I think of Inkheart and I'm like, yeah, I like, I feel like when it comes to a YA, you're more invested in the character. But when it comes to like a young reader, you're more invested in like the story and the world, which is still great. It's still great and it's still remarkable. But yeah, so I just feel like I was like invested in these characters and wanted to know what they were doing. Could I tell you much about them? No, not at all. But I think that that's okay. And yeah, that's the Whisper Wix. I again highly recommend that this is in libraries. I would buy it for your kid. I had a lady in the store the other day who was looking for presents for a 10-year-old, and I think she said a 9-year-old, and I was like, and she's like, the 10-year-old loves Harry Potter, but she's read like all the books, so I don't know what to get her. And I was like, you have to get her this book because she's, there's just no way that, like, it just reminded me so much of Harry Potter with the magic, with the world building, with like everything that's gone into the story. I thought it was great. So that's my tea on that.
You reminded me of literally how much I love Inkheart. And now I'm inclined to read Ink Death for our episode in 2 weeks' time.
Ooh.
Because I never read the second one.
Oh. So wait, you mean Ink Spell?
Ink Spell. Yes. Sorry.
So you're gonna read the second one?
Yeah, because I've only ever read
Liza,
the first one.
that's insane.
I can't
I
believe
didn't, I
I read it.
because like the, yeah, I can't believe either because the second and third one are like phenomenal.
Oh my God. Yeah, because I was gonna read maybe The Maze Runner too.
Oh wait, oh, that's
And
hard.
the only other option was that smut book I read. I want to read the part two for that, so I was like, I could do that. But now I feel like I should pick between Scorch Trials and Ink Spell.
I think that those are both great picks.
What should I do?
Read both.
Okay. No, that book sounds so good.
It was really good. I think that you would like it. There were like a couple times in the beginning when I was like, okay, this is annoying. And also like if I had to have a critique on it, I would say one of the main characters is a girl, and I think that like she was made really moody and bratty. And that like kind of bothered me because I'm like, she's clearly going through a lot. Like her twin brother is missing.
Right.
But now, like, that's my one critique that I have on it. I think that that's unfair. But that's really it. And that's, I mean, I think it was great. And it
And
also had like a plot twist that had like my mouth like, oh.
really, I love a plot twist.
We love a plot twist.
It reminded me of Coraline a little bit.
Absolutely.
And then otherwise, it reminded me of, I don't know if you ever read this one. I read it one summer when I was helping my mom out in the children's library. And it's called Gregor the Overlander. And it's the series Suzanne Collins wrote before The Hunger Games. And it's a young reader book.
Oh, I've never read that.
And it's like, I believe he either goes into an attic or a basement and like fall in a city and falls down a hole and finds this whole other world. And they call him like an
Oh,
overlander.
Gregor.
Oh, Gregor. So it's kind of giving that also.
Okay, I kind of love that. I could see that both.
Yeah.
I would love to name my kid Gregor. Isn't that terrible?
No, it's kind of a fun name.
Like after the metamorphosis.
Well, yes, the
So I
metamorphosis.
was like, that would be kind of so funny.
Also, no offense to the children of the Whisperwicks, but they got insane names.
Yeah.
What
Yes,
was
they do. That's correct.
Benja? What?
Benjamaya.
Benjamaya? That's made up.
And Elizabella.
Is it spelled Alizea or Eliza?
E.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I thought I was gonna slay.
And then Edwin.
Edwin?
Edwin with a D at the end.
Okay. People are lying.
And then it was funny because like at the end, you learn Benjamin's parents' names.
Yeah.
And it's literally Zoe and I think James. And I was like
Okay. What the
Yeah,
hell?
literally.
That's funny. What are we doing next week?
Next week is Summerween.
Summerween. I love Summerween.
We love Summerween.
What are you reading?
I think I'm gonna read Cabin at the End of the World by Paul Tremblay.
And you're giving Paul Tremblay a second try?
I am gonna give him a second try. I saw the movie to this one, so like I already know everything pretty much,
Yeah.
but I want the book to be good.
I want it to be good. We'll see. I'm reading The Troop by Nick Cutter. We'll see if next week episode is a flop or not.
We'll see.
It might be a flop. Hopefully Paul saves the day. Because Nick is not slaying in the way he should be.
Come on, Nick.
I know. Theme of the day.
For real.
But yeah, we'll see. Summerween, it'll be fun either way.
Will be fun either way. We'll make it fun. We can just drag them. It's okay.
We love to drag, especially
We
men.
do. Yes. And
Like,
they can't get hurt by it. They're super famous.
right. And I feel like it may feed into our agenda that men should stop being allowed to write horror.
Yes.
So it's a win-win either way.
It is. That's true.
We'll see you guys there.
We'll see y'all.
God hates us lately, and you know what? Fair.